Good morning. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right. I hope you are as excited about being here and worshiping with one another as I am. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for the provisions that you have given us. And we ask that not only you give us our physical bread, but we ask, Father, that you provide us with the spiritual bread. I pray that our hearts are truly open and hungering and thirsting, that your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you not let the tempter drag us away. But I pray, Father, that the message this morning is truly yours, and that it will take root and grow in our lives. Those of us that may have a heavy heart this morning, I'm asking, Lord, that your words will comfort them. Those of us that rejoice in you, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to see that it's not situation, circumstances, or people, but truly your word in which we can rejoice. That's the good news. And Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share what you've laid on my heart. And I pray that you are glorified. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the real reasons this morning that I am excited about being here is that being 75 years old, I have another heartbeat. And that I could get out of bed without assistance and help this morning. And I didn't have to put my eyes in, and I didn't have to put my teeth in. 75 years old, all the parts still work. Not as well, but they still work. And so I'm grateful. But the real joy is being here and having the opportunity to worship our Heavenly Father with my brothers and sisters this morning. And I'd like to start off by, did you know that Melanie Fowler was, see, I told you not to say that, man. Melanie Fowler was baptized last night. Stand up, Melanie. Our new sister in Christ. So stop by and congratulate her, okay? I'm also grateful that we have an opportunity to, through Jesus Christ, to witness the good news, to be a part of that good news. And so if you'll turn with me over to Matthew 28, and we'll begin reading there in verse 16. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of us have ever had good news to share? okay? You probably had to be restrained from sharing it. You know, like you got a new car, a promotion, a new baby in the family, getting married. You probably had to be restrained from sharing it. People probably said, before you got to them, they probably said, you know, he had a new baby in the family today. And we did. But you know, sometimes good news, depending upon the individual that is receiving the news, may not always see it as being good news. Oh, that's good news for you, but what do I get out of it? That's not good news to me. So this morning, the good news I want to talk about is found in the Gospels, particularly the first four books of the New Testament. And today, as we talk about this, I want us to consider, one, do I see this as being good news? Do I share it often? Do I like sharing it? Because others may not see it as being good news. And so, let's begin reading here. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." Now, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Now, let's put this into context in the timeline and the culture of the day. What had just happened religiously? The Jewish leaders had killed Jesus because they saw him as a threat to their power, to their position, to their control. Not only did they look to put Jesus and were successful in getting the Romans to do so to death, they were equally as zealous about killing off those that followed him. So, Jesus is now resurrected. And look what it says. It said some of the disciples, even though he had spent some time with them, they saw the holes in his hands, in his feet, in his side. They had eaten with him, talked with him, walked with him. And all of the good news that he had been sharing and all the deeds that he had done and how he had manifested his Father to them, they saw that come to realization. And yet some of them, it says here, " Jesus had been resurrected at this point. In verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped, but some still doubted. I'm skeptical. And so, the Jews denied the fact that Jesus Christ had been raised. In fact, they paid the Romans that were guarding him, they paid them a bunch of money to go and lie. Just tell the people that his disciples came and stole the body. This ain't good news to us. In fact, this is a setback to us. Now we have to go back and deal with this all over again. And I'm sure they were thinking selfishly about what do we have to do to regain power? What do we have to do to gain control over the crowds? He's walking around. We can't deny that. We understand that there, yes, there are holes in his hands and in his feet, and he is, we can actually see that. He's in bodily form. How are we going to deny this? We just hope he doesn't show up on our front doorstep. Now, politically, what was going on? The Roman Empire was the dominant force of the day. Not only were they strict, they were harsh. Whether they believed, I mean, there was injustice all over the place. It was rampant. In fact, the administrator that gave the death decree said, I don't find any fault with this man, but I'm not going to have a riot on my hands. So take him and do with him. But just to show you, take him out and beat him. Even though I don't believe he deserves it. And not only were they harsh, occupiers and rulers, they didn't like any problems. I mean, you needed to sit down, shut up, and don't rock the boat. Don't be spoken when you're not spoken to. If you're not a Roman citizen, you are not a person. The ruler of the land was Herod. There was a great tension between the Jewish community and the power system of the Romans. The Jews wanted to be free of this Roman rule. And if you look at the account of Luke in Acts 1, you can see that they were really concerned about not letting this go on. The Jews, that is. And just for a second here, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to reference this. When the disciples heard that Jesus was risen, and as I read my Bible, it could have been on the same occasion, just Luke's account of what we just read here in Matthew, that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and in being raised from the dead, he had this opportunity to talk with him. And in that conversation, so when they came together, they asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Isn't it about time? They got distracted. They got turned around. I'm sure if I were in that situation, I could have been thinking about me as opposed to what Jesus was telling me. Because Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know, guys, let's get focused. It is not for you to know the time nor the place that the Father has fixed on his own authority. But here is something that you should be aware of. Here is what you will know. That his kingdom is in your grasp. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I'm not sure what they were thinking when he said this. I'm sure there was a little bit of grief in their hearts because, as I picture it, as Jesus was saying this, he was being ascended into the clouds. And I would have been standing there with my mouth what am I supposed to do now? And a couple of men, I think, were angels. Hey, guys. Get on down to Jerusalem. Do what he tells you to do. What are you doing standing here gazing? He's just as he went and he ascended, guess what? He's going to come back, but there's some work that you've got to do during the meantime. There's some good news that you've got to spread, even to people that don't want to hear it. You've got to get busy. So get on down to Jerusalem and stop standing here gazing. He probably would have had to tell me that a couple of times, just like Tim was trying to tell me this. Now, bro, this name, don't blow it. Just read it. And guess what I did? Sorry, Melanie. Got it all wrong. Am I supposed to go now? Lord, I don't know the way down to Jerusalem, but you just came from there. I could have really been thinking, man, if they would kill you, the Son of God, what are they going to do to me? Am I up for this? I could have gotten into the back of the line, too. Yeah, I would have been one of those, Lord, I mean, are you going to restore the kingdom of God? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel right now? That would make it a whole lot easier. All we have to do is just go in and lord it over them. Look, I am in this position in the kingdom. We can revolt and overthrow the Jewish leaders. Now look what else was going on here. Socially, there was a huge disparity between the classes. You had the very rich on one hand, and you had the very poor on the other hand. Injustice was rampant. The political system was an absolute quagmire. same-sex relations were morally accepted and widely practiced. Can you see the similarities of the culture of that day and what's going on today? Was it difficult for these guys, for the apostles, when Jesus gave them this commission? You've got work to do. You've got good news to spread. And I'm convinced that that commission just didn't stop with them. It is just as relevant today. And we have the same audience. A lot of people don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. Now, let's just think of this for a minute. Because we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and because we have been redeemed and our sins atoned for, those of us that call ourselves by his name, we are no longer our own. We don't belong to us any longer. Our time is not our time. Our money is not our money. Our lives are not our lives. We are just stewards. He has purchased us with his blood and flesh. Now, I don't know about you. That is great news. I wasn't born a saint. There's a lot of stuff that I'd like to forget. And he says, all washed away out, all forgiven. What in the world are you talking about? I'm grateful to have brothers in my life, particularly one brother, because he helps keep me focused. I can get so caught up in that I spit on the sidewalk today. And woe is me, I'm going to hell because of this. No, bro, no, 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 no. What about the good news? I can get so wrapped up in guilt and forget the good news. I can really get caught up in minutia and forget the good news. And what makes me do that? Just as I forget to share the good news, it's pride. It is pride. I'm thinking, I should be perfect. I should never do that. Man, how old are you? Have you heard this before? Sure. And I see Jesus Christ continually telling me the same thing over and over and over. Repetition. Hopefully, Al, you'll get it. That this is good news. I have purchased you with my blood. I think you are valuable. And that's what he says to each one of us. Now, I can call it fear, I can call it laziness. There are a lot of names that I can give in not being a carrier of good news. Have you ever gone to the store to purchase something? Or just to look for something? Or have you ever taken a walk around your neighborhood? Or have you ever talked with your coworker, your next door neighbor? Did you share good news with them? Did you try to build friendships with them? Because friendships, really, I mean, you take a look at Jesus Christ, he had spent 3 years with these guys building a friendship, and still some doubt it. And they saw good news. They saw the manifestations of it. It's not just, hello, here's a card, come to church. No. It's about building friendships. And that takes effort, energy, prayer. Otherwise, like them, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom now? We can become disfocused. And again, for me, that's just pride. I'm thinking about me. And so, having said that, I'm really grateful for this little tool. You know, we're studying this on Wednesdays in church, in our Wednesday services. And I got a couple of questions here because it raised some real legitimate questions. The first one, do I feel compelled to share the gospel, the good news, the message? Do I feel compelled? Do I really believe the good news myself? That's the heart of why I don't share. Do I really believe it myself? Do I really believe the act that I'm going to take here? Do I really believe that God has forgiven me of my sin? Do I really believe that I must be perfect in all things? Well, there's only one that's perfect. So my imperfection, he says, get out of my sight. I can't stand you. You are abhorrent to me. Is that the gospel? Is that the good news? Absolutely not. So the first question I have to ask myself, do I really believe it myself that it's good news? Otherwise, it becomes a silent killer. It kills off my faith. It kills off those that I am supposed to be building friendships with. My neighbor never hears it from me. The second part of that is it really my job? Am I responsible to carry forth this good news? Now, how many of us, you don't need to raise your hand or anything, but there are some of us, not as old as I am, but you were here before 2005. You remember what that was like. And we went out and we spent a lot of time handing out cards, giving invitation. What was the incentive? Somebody's going to ask me, about this. I'm going to be held accountable for this. It wasn't about my heart and my seeing that it is good news that Jesus Christ would die in my place, would suffer, that God would give his only son for me. It wasn't about that at all. It was because someone was going to ask me. That's why I shared. And so when that accountability, quote unquote, was gone, what happened? Do I still try to build relationships? Just like it says here, while you're standing here, just as you saw him ascend into the heavens, guess what? He's going to come back. Have you been sharing the gospel? Does the gospel end with you? That makes it a silent killer. It dies with me. The third question that I want to ask here, do you really believe that those without Christ are lost? You see, that's one of the things that may not feel compelled to build friendships or to reach out, to extend myself, to spend time with someone else that I may not like. Now, if you think about it and you look around in here, how many of us would have been friends just under normal circumstances and hung out together? It's all because of Christ, not on our own. But do I believe, someone believed that you, were lost, and the way for us to be saved was through Jesus Christ. Someone believed that. And that must be what we are about, sharing that good news. But it starts off, do I really believe that someone else is lost? I'm not making a judgment. I'm simply wanting to build a friendship and share the good news. And in sharing that good news, they will let me know whether or not where they are in their relationship with God. I'm not making a judgment. And Jesus Christ has just given the direction, the instructions, the commands. This is what you have to do. You have to teach them everything that I taught you. That means I got to spend time. That means I've got to invest in them. Money, time, energy, effort. A card and an invitation won't do it. That's the lazy way out. And how many cards have you given out and people probably threw them in the trash once you turned your back? Did they show up? No. I've got to invest regardless of what I think about that person. I've got to invest, as Paul says, I shared not only the gospel, but my life with you. That's what's got to take place. And then, do I only give lip service that Jesus Christ is the only way for an individual to be saved? Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. There's no other way. Jesus Christ said, and let's just look at some of the scriptures that he left us with. And the one that comes to mind, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one gets to the Father except through me. And then through Paul, in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so it comes down to two reasons why I don't share the gospel: a lack of faith. I'm depending on me. I don't think that he is going to be with me. Well, maybe that person may not like a black guy talking to them. That's a real concern. I'm standing behind this beautiful young lady, and she's not black, and why are you talking to me? Do I need to call the cops? And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't need this. Or I can think, am I tall enough? Am I good looking enough? I can go through a bunch of stuff. Why? Lord, just let the kingdom come right now so I don't have to do this. You understand what I'm saying? And that is pride. That's a lack of faith that God says, I will be with you. Do I believe that? That's great news. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Well, Lord, maybe I'm too old. Maybe they think I can't relate. And everybody is young to me, just about. Maybe not Doc, but sorry, Doc. But how can I relate? What am I going to talk to them about? And guess what? I can get so distracted. Did you like the, is your bracket shot? Blah, 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 blah. And forget the reason that I am there. It's not about the brackets. It's not about the Lakers. It's not about UCLA. It's about the good news. Did you know? When can we have lunch? When can we get together? Maybe we can sit down and do the brackets together or something. But it's not about brackets. I can get caught up into so many things and forget. And again, I can call it forgetfulness, but really it's pride. Do I want to share the good news? Do I believe it? Am I convinced that Jesus Christ and the gift of God is good news to everyone? Please be praying for me that I take this message to heart and I stop being prideful. I think I'm going to suffer with that for a little while. But God said he would be with me. All you have to do, Al, is go. Why are you standing here? Thank you.